Good evening and welcome to this Lord's Day evening worship service. It is a wonderful blessing, isn't it, to be able to be in the house of our God, to worship Him and to praise His name. If you would stand together with me, we'll hear God call us to worship from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive now His greeting. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now pray. Our God, we thank you for this evening, for this day of rest that you have given to us. We thank you that you have called us as your people to call upon your name, to make known your deeds among all the peoples, to sing your praises this night. Strengthen us to do it. Remind us of your love for us, of your grace and your mercy. O God, that we might rejoice in all of your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, now this time we will recite together the words of the Apostles' Creed. It may be found in the insert in your bulletin or on page 12 of your Three Forms of Unity booklet. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we continue standing, let us now open our hymnals to hymn 402 and join together singing Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide, hymn 402. You may be seated. Our related reading this evening, if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, be reading verses 36 through 46. In Matthew chapter 26, our Lord Jesus is headed to the cross. We're going to read in verses 36 through 46 the time in which he is in the garden and he is praying. He has asked his disciples to stay, to watch and pray with him. As we do so, I want you to pay particular attention to the words of verse 39, as we will think about later in the sermon, the words of David, as he also professes to trust in God and what lies before him. So we'll begin our reading then in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Hear now the word of our God. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And as we come to the passage this night in 2 Samuel in chapter 15, David is going to be in the same place, physically, outside of Jerusalem. And he's going to say to those who are with him, to Zadok the priest, to Abiathar, "Let God do what seems best to him." David submits himself to God's will, much in the same way as the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, would do here three times. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." A submission of faith. Well, let us now join together in our evening prayer. And as today is a day that is set aside for prayer and for the support of our denominational home missions, that is, mission works that are here in the United States, in the U.S., and those regions that we support, we will spend time in our evening prayer praying for these works, particularly the needs that they have given to us. And you ought to have received an email with that, so I would encourage you also to continue this week, and as it comes to mind, to pray for these works. But I also received this morning from Ray Brown an update that Tanya Brown, who had difficulty with her leg, is now healed, completely free of whatever the infection was. So we'll return praise to God for that this evening as well. So let us bow our heads now and pray unto our God. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you for all that you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him you are our shield, our glory. You are the one who lifts up our head. We thank you that you hear our prayers. You hear us even when we do not have the words to speak. We cry out to you, and you answer us. You answer us from on high, from your holy hill. You answer us according to wisdom, not according to our desires, for often we do not know what we should pray for, and we pray amiss. You answer us in wisdom. You answer us according to our true need, not according to our wants. Answer our prayers this night. May our prayers be pleasing unto you as we bring them to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gather together as your people, comfort us, for we need your comfort. Speak to us by your word and spirit, that we might know you as our Father, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Help us to know that we have eternal life even now, and yet that what we long for and look forward to is far beyond anything that we now possess. Encourage us as your people. Remind us that you have provided for us as we tasted this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, as we touched this morning, as we smelled, God, these realities. Help us to know that certainly you have, through the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, satisfied for all of our sins, and that by raising him from the dead, you have shown that he is that righteousness which can stand before you, and that we are justified in him. And God, work in our hearts tonight as we live in very difficult times, in uncertain times. We confess that we do not know what tomorrow will bring. We confess that we often fear and fret, and we make up scenarios of what may happen. Oh God, we do this because we are weak. And yet you have told us, do not worry about tomorrow. Oh God, give us the strength to look unto you this night, to know that as we trust in you, that we can have an absolute certainty that all things are in your hands, that nothing will come to pass apart from your holy will. Nothing will happen to us that is not ultimately for our good and for your glory. Strengthen our hearts. And thank you for all that you have done for us, even in bringing us here. Thank you for the good news of healing that we've received for Steve Liesfeld, as he has been released from Mayo Clinic, from the Browns, and the good news of Tanya and her recovery from this infection. God, these are your answers to prayer. These are not chance occurrences, for we know that there is no such thing as chance. And God, as this night you have, through your church, called for a day of prayer and of giving for the work of missions in our denomination, we lift up these congregations that are represented by the work of missions in this country and by the RCUS. We pray for Omaha Reformed Chapel, for Reverend Kleinsma. We thank you that they have been able to continue meeting, that even as they have been wise about how they do that and how many people attend. We pray for new families to come and for new inquirers, that you would grow that body. Be with Calvary Reformed Church in Stockton, California, and Reverend Merica. We praise you that we have witnessed their new visitors. And God, we pray that they would become members, that you would raise up men to serve as elders and deacons there. Thank you for the work of Reverend Alpuche in his Spanish mission in Shafter, California. Thank you that not only is he able there to minister to those who do not speak English or do not speak it well, we thank you, God, that your word is not restricted to any one language. We pray that you would continue to help him as he translates great works of the Reformation, works by Calvin and others, into Spanish. Give him the time and the ability to do that. Bless Rehoboth Reformed Church, even as they are without a pastor. Thank you that they have pulpit supply. We pray that you would raise up a man, prepare a man to serve there. And as you do so, you would bring new members and increase then the faith in those members. We know that they are declining in membership, as many churches in California are struggling. God, be with them. Thank you for the church plant in Denver, Colorado, under Reverend Moulton. We praise you for their new facility, for the new members. We ask for your blessing upon them, that you would continue to bring growth, that they would, even though they do have a place to worship, that they would find a permanent place, and that you would increase their outreach in the Denver area and in the surrounding regions. Thank you for Grace Reformed Church in Dickinson, North Dakota. Thank you for Reverend Wojtek and him taking the call to serve that congregation. We praise you for the provision of a new building. And we also thank you that you have answered the prayers of your people in providing for Reverend Wes Bryce and for Ginger, his treatment for cancer, her surgeries. God, truly, this is a sign of your grace and mercy to your people. Continue to be with Reverend Powell and the saints at Christ Reformed Church in Casper, Wyoming. I thank you that they have experienced a continued growth. Help them to have wisdom as they grow. They have that difficulty of fitting people in their present building. Thank you for the new members that you have brought to them. We do lift up those in that congregation and in all of our congregations who are facing economic difficulties and struggling, particularly with the loss of jobs and the downturn in the economy. Be with them and provide for them. And be with those in Emmanuel Reformed Fellowship in Pella, Iowa, with Reverend Meether. We praise you, God, that they have been able to continue to serve the people of that area, that there are those there who delight in and desire to join with the RCUS. Thank you for the oversight of Covenant Reformed Church out of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, for Reverend Fluck and others who have been very instrumental in supporting that work. God, we ask that you would give them financial stability, that you would give Reverend Meether the ability to work full-time in the ministry and not have to work the part-time job that he does to support this church and its labors. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for these works. We thank you that these works even exist. We know that it is your power, it is your might, it is your strength that builds your kingdom, not our own. And so we ask you to do all of these things, to answer these prayers, and to do even more, abundantly above what we think or ask, for the sake of your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But now let us stand together and respond by singing hymn 340, "Come, Dearest Lord, Descend and Dwell," hymn 340. Please be seated. You turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel and chapter 15. Last week, as we looked at 2 Samuel and chapter 15, we learned that David had learned that Absalom had turned the hearts of the men of Israel against him, and that David then responded by gathering his household and fleeing with them, going into exile, departing, not only with his household, but also the servants who would go with him, including the foreigner, the Gittite, Ittai, who was willing to swear unto him, "As the Lord lives and as the Lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." We're picking up this evening in verse 24 and looking through verse 29. But for context, we'll begin reading in verse 24 and we'll read through verse 37. As we do so, let us first come and pray and ask God to bless it to us, the reading and preaching of His Word. Thank you, God, for giving us, once again, the great privilege to sit at Your feet, to hear Your Word, to hear You speak to us. May these words that I speak, as they are faithful to Your Word, be used to bless these people, to strengthen our faith, to cause us to look with uplifted heads to You and to trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So beginning then in verse 24 of 2 Samuel 15, hear now the word of God. There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring me back and show me both it and His dwelling place. But if He says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let Him do to me as seems good to Him. The king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore Zadok and Abiathar carried the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok's son, Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may have seen this on the internet. There is a bridge in China, in China's East Taihang Mountains. And it's a glass bridge, and this glass bridge rises some 3,871 feet above a valley. Glass, completely see-through, it stretches some 873 feet from mountain to mountain across this valley. Now, if you are afraid of heights, this is probably not the bridge that you want to try to cross. But the designers of this bridge did something. They put into it technology that makes the bridge seem as if it is cracking under your feet. And it would seem that they didn't tell those crossing it before they crossed it that they had done this. So you can imagine the first people crossing this bridge, especially those who may have been afraid, and looking beneath their feet and seeing this glass shattering. In fact, you can find video of these unsuspecting people crossing this bridge and being frightened out of their wits because the glass is seemingly shattering beneath them. They try to grab onto the side, do whatever they can, leap out of the way in some way, form, or fashion to avoid this disaster. And this gimmick was so believable that the East Taihang administration had to issue an apology to the public and assure them that this was a safe bridge to cross, that the shattering of the glass was just an effect created to bring about a thrill to those crossing it. Now, I'm sure that those who crossed it and didn't realize that this was designed to work this way had more than a thrill. They were probably very frightened. Now, while you may never have the opportunity to cross this bridge, perhaps you may, you do live in a world which can feel like you're crossing this bridge, don't you? I mean, think about it. You're going to experience many times in this life. You may have even experienced it this week. Maybe you even experienced it today. You were going across the bridge of life, and all of a sudden, beneath you, everything's shattering. What are you going to do? Everything is falling apart. And when this happens, you're going to be tempted to react like some of these bridge crossers reacted. You're going to jump and react in fear. You're going to grab on to whatever you can to hold on for dear life. And David is in one such situation here. Everything seems to be going well for him until word comes to him that Absalom, his son, has over these years turned the hearts of the people against him. And now everything is shattering before him. Everything is falling apart. He, with his entire household, with the exception of 10 concubines, have gone into exile. They have left Jerusalem. One might expect David, like some of those walkers on the bridge, to fall down to his knees and abandon all hope. Think, this is the end. I'm going down with the bridge. But that's not what he does. That's what I want you to see tonight. That's not the way David reacts. Instead, David professes an even greater hope in God. Why is it that David can do this? Why is it that David, as we have recorded here, can say things like, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back. But even if he says, I have no delight in you, let him do to me as seems good to him. Let him do to me as seems good to him. David had learned a lesson about God that we need to learn and we need to continually remember every day of our lives. And that lesson is what I want to stress to you this evening. That when we remember who God is and what he has promised, we will find rest, even in uncertain times. When we remember who God is and what he has promised, we will find rest even in uncertain times. And David finds that rest. I'm going to show you that this evening. Two things I want to point out from verses 24 through 29. First, David remembers God's exalted place. We'll see that as he sends the ark back into Jerusalem. And second, David rests upon God's sovereign grace. He trusts in God, even in this difficult situation. And we see in verse 24 of chapter 15 that David receives support from the religious community. Here we have Zadok and the Levites with him. And these Levites, those who were particularly called to bear the Ark of the Covenant of God, coming out to meet him, and they set down the Ark of God. And Abiathar also went up until all the people crossed over. So not only does David have the support of his household and the support of his servants and those soldiers who fought with him, here we see that David receives the support of the priests and the Levites. Four are mentioned here: Zadok and his son Ahimaaz, and Abiathar and his son Jonathan. Now, if you recall from 1 Samuel and chapter 22, David, when he was fleeing from Saul, he went to Nob. Doeg the Edomite saw him there. And what happens? Saul sends Doeg to go and to wipe out the priests of Nob. And it's Abiathar who comes to David and tells him what Doeg the Edomite did. And so Abiathar has been with David for a long time.